So we're starting this series called Life Within, Wisdom from the Book of Proverbs. And this is going to be the start of five messages that will be in coming weeks. And really what we want to do is we want to understand the Proverbs, but also why there is life within. Why is it that when we read the Proverbs, they should shift our hearts? They should posture us into a place where we expect that we'll have life the way that God wants it for all of us. And we're talking about wisdom, and it would be remiss not to look at the dictionary about what wisdom is. And wisdom, according to the dictionary, is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Some of you are reading that going, ooh, I've got some work to do. And you might look at that and go, you know what, I know of some people who I would say have wisdom. Maybe it's a parent, a grandparent, someone that you know, your next door neighbor, a friend, someone you go to school with. Lots of names might go into your mind, but one name that might not go into your mind is this person, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was one of the founding fathers of the US of A, born in 1706. And the reason that he should be considered as someone who had a lot of wisdom is in the mid to late 1700s, he had an annual article publication that would go out, and in that article would be everything that he'd learned from that year. So if you grabbed it, you would be able to have an insight into the mind of Benjamin Franklin. And in that would be calendars and weather forecasts, poems and so forth. And towards the end of his life, it was formed into a book called Poor Richard's Almanac. Who here has read Poor Richard's Almanac? For those who aren't here listening on podcast or watching at home, no one put their hand up. Not even mine. But in Poor Richard's Almanac, he always had sayings of things that from his own experiences of the year that he'd learnt about life. And some of them are quite famous, like, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Did you know that Benjamin Franklin coined that phrase? Now you do. Some were a little bit more pointed, where he'd say, the proud hate pride in others. True, right? Or, three may keep a secret if two of them are dead. Or my personal favourite, fish and visitors both stink in 3 days. How many of us, when we wake up in the morning, how many of us does our heads pop off the pillow and we go, man, I need to read Poor Richard's Almanac so I can have some wisdom and truth as I go into my day? Well, it's none of us because we all said we haven't read it. And you probably know where I'm going with this, but how many of us treat the book of Proverbs the same way? Because Poor Richard's Almanac, yes, it's got some cool sayings and they're kind of funny, and some of them I understand, some of them I don't understand, but they don't really impact my day-to-day walk. And some of us might see Proverbs the same way. It's full of cool sayings, some I understand, some I don't understand. It's good for a bumper sticker or a Facebook post or maybe on a t-shirt, but it doesn't really govern the way that I live my life, when it probably should. And that's what this whole series is about. We're trying to shine a light on the Proverbs, or at least a handful of them, because they're extremely relevant for each of us. Because in the Proverbs, there is life for you and for me as followers of Jesus. If we can grasp onto the wisdom within and we can utilize it and we can see it change and guide our decisions, our future and our relationships and our ministries, we would have the life that God wants. We would be able to live God's word in God's world. And I've asked each speaker who will be part of this series to find a proverb of their own choosing and speak to the wisdom within. And let me be really, really honest with you all, is that that will all be for naught. This whole series will come and will go, and it won't change anything if we don't understand why we should hold in the highest regard the wisdom in the book of Proverbs? What sets it apart from Ben Franklin's book? What sets it apart from a really interestingly well thought out Facebook status that someone has put on? What puts it apart from some of the books from megachurch pastors or people in the world about wisdom and keys to success and to life? What sets it apart? Because if we don't truly grasp that it is set apart, then it will just be like everything else that kind of is a little bit relevant and kind of a little bit irrelevant. So to fully grasp the importance of Proverbs as we go into this series, I just want to talk today about two questions that will help us understand the importance of the book of Proverbs. And it's these two questions. Who wrote the book and why did they write it? And you might think, oh, is that really going to help us understand the importance of the book? It is. Because the person who wrote the book, that is the authority. Where is it coming from? What gives this person authority to have these sayings and these ways of living that should impact my life? And why they wrote it is, what is their intention for it? Because if their intention is not that you and I will look at it and actually go, this is how I should live, then we're not honoring the original text. So we need to understand who wrote it and why did they write it. So let's begin number one. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? We're going to dig really deep into the book of Proverbs with this one. Proverbs 1:1. It says this: these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. And you might think, well, that's great. We know who it was, but it doesn't really give it more authority or any less authority. Because can you imagine if I gave you a book and said, hey, here's all this wisdom literature. It was written by me. You'd be like, that's great ads, but you're just a person. You make mistakes. You're good at some stuff and you're bad at other stuff. What gives you the authority to write a book about how I should live my life? And we should ask that same question of Solomon. What gives Solomon the authority to tell us how we should live our lives? Well, that's because in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon had his Aladdin moment. And you might be going, an Aladdin moment. Aladdin. You might have heard the story of Aladdin, yeah? Best Disney movie. Take that, Lion King fans. Best Disney movie. Aladdin, he finds this lamp and he rubs it. A genie comes out and says, well, I'll give you some wishes. And he goes, oh, I want to marry the princess. And I want to be rich. And I want to be on elephants. And well, he didn't say that particularly, but that's what happened. And he got his wishes. Same thing happened in 1 Kings chapter 3, except it wasn't a genie. It was God in heaven talking to Solomon saying, what do you want? Let's read it together. 1 Kings 3, starting at 5. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask, and I'll give it to you. Solomon replied, you've showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you most of the time. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and so numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you didn't ask for, riches and fame. No other king in the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." That's cool. Solomon asked for wisdom, and he received a wisdom that surpassed all wisdom of everyone who had lived and everyone who is going to live. It is fair to say, based on this text, that Solomon is the wisest guy there ever was and ever will be. Ever. And it wasn't his own wisdom. It wasn't an earthly wisdom based on his own experiences. It was a wisdom directly from God. And it didn't take long for this wisdom to be needed. Two verses after this, we see a story of two ladies, two prostitutes who had babies. And they come before the king. And they say to King Solomon, well, the first one says, "We both had a baby. I had mine first. She had hers 3 days later. And then through the night, she rolled over and suffocated and killed her baby. And instead of dealing with that, what she did in the secret of night is she took my baby and her baby and she switched them. And she took mine. And when I woke up in the morning, I found that my baby was dead. And then when the light came through the window of the morning, I could see, hang on, this is not my baby. So this is why we're before you here today, King, because she stole my baby." And the second lady's response is, "It was certainly your son, the dead one, and the living child is mine." Did you catch this? This is interesting because you've got this first lady who's saying, "Hey, look, Solomon, here is the full account. This is what happened. This is where we were. This is what we experienced. This is how the sun came in the window. This is what happened, and we came here." And the other lady, equivalently, is just going, "Nah." It's like, "Can you give me more?" She's like, "Nah." So Solomon says this. His decree is this: "All right, bring me a sword." So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other." So the woman who had the dead baby in her arms goes, no, don't kill my baby. She can have it. Because her motherhood kicked in and she's like, "I wanted to protect my baby. So no, just let her have it." And Solomon says, "Do not kill the child. Give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is the mother." She is the mother. What great wisdom to appeal to the motherhood. And this is why we can't liken Proverbs to Ben Franklin's books, to Jordan Peterson's books, to Tony Robbins' books, to anything we find on Amazon, anything we see on Facebook, any blog we read, anyone who stands on a pulpit. We can't liken any wisdom to that of Proverbs. This is a king whose wisdom surpasses it all. And as we saw in verse 12, it surpasses any wisdom of anyone who will live directly from God in heaven. This is God's wisdom, God's truth, God's way for living to Solomon, through him, to you and to me. Who doesn't want that wisdom? I do. So why did Solomon write this book then? We can see the answer in Proverbs 1, 2-7. It says this: "When all..." Oh, that's actually further on. They all loved Solomon. He was the best. All right. Proverbs 12. "Their purpose," the Proverbs, "their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insights to the simple, knowledge to the and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now that fear part, you might be like, "Ooh, that's going to get spicy." We're going to talk about fear in a separate sermon, so we'll bookmark that one. Do you remember Solomon's request? Why he made the request? Because he recognized that after David, he was the king of this amazing, countless nation, this awesome nation of God. And he goes, you know what? I'm a kid. I don't have what it takes to lead this nation. I don't have it in me. So God, I need your wisdom for this massive mission and purpose you've put on my life. Likewise, you and I have a mission and a purpose. And here's a secret that hopefully you figured out by now. You can't do it on your own. It's too big for you. And we all need to look up to God and say, God, I need your wisdom to do what you've called me to do, to fulfill my mission and my purpose. I cannot do it without your wisdom. We are all in the same boat. We cannot live the life that God wants without his wisdom. And you might be sitting there going, really though? Like, I've done pretty well. Like, I follow the rules of life, and, you know, we have things that are right and things that are wrong, and I kind of stick to them. And, you know, like, wisdom's good. And let's be honest, we're in a church and there's a sermon about wisdom, and we're all, yes, wisdom, I definitely want wisdom. But really, do we want it? Do we actually want it? Do we actually want it? And I think the question should be, do we actually need it? Timothy Keller says this, if you don't yet, you will soon sense an acute need for wisdom. If you haven't yet, you soon will. Take a job you should never have taken, hire somebody you should never have hired, or date somebody you should never have dated. The older you get, and I know I'm speaking to people similar, like to my age and some who are older, and you might agree with me, inevitably you come to see how important wisdom is, how hard it is to gain it, and how much your life can absolutely be smashed to smithereens without it. How hard it is to get it, and how much your life can be smashed to pieces without it. And even if you don't realize it, the world wants wisdom. Everyone wants wisdom. Not just the church. Everyone wants it. There is a reason self-help books are so popular. There are a reason people are trying to find the keys to success, the keys to life, the keys to figuring out if there's a fork in the road, do I go left or do I go right? Everyone wants wisdom. You know, I mentioned Jordan Peterson before. He wrote a book called The 12 Rules for Life. And one of those rules is make your bed. Sold 5 million copies. I wish I'd known that. I would have written a book called Make Your Bed, and it just said, make your bed. 5 million copies. Thank you. Anthony Robbins, some of the older crew will know who that is, used to go around doing seminars of self-help and keys to success and to life. And he earns $84 million annually to this day on his book sales and on his podcast and on his seminars. $84 million annually. And when he goes and speaks somewhere, his minimum asking price for a speaking engagement is $300,000. Just to speak to a room about success, life, wisdom, making wise choices. Should I date that person? Should I take that job? Should I say these words? Should I not say these words? Left, right, up, down. The world wants wisdom, and they're very, very happy to pay for it. Give me the 12-step plan. Then I'm all set. What are the rules I need to follow? Let me tell you this. Wisdom is necessary when the rules don't apply. Wisdom is necessary when the rules don't apply. What do I mean by that? You look at Solomon, he's there with these two ladies, right? And not just Solomon, all of us, we live by societal rules. There were rules for Solomon according to society. These were two prostitutes who were standing before him. How much easier would it have been for Solomon if one was a prostitute and one was just a housewife? Because the rules in that case would go, well, the prostitute is not able to take care of a living child, so I'm going to give the baby to the housewife because then the baby might have a better future. It would be easy if one of them was rich and one of them wasn't rich, because then you go, well, the one that's rich can provide better for the child. It's the same as societal norms and rules today. If there's a judge and there's a custody battle, the mother usually gets the child because she can better, she's seen as in society. The rule is she can get better care of the child, unless, of course, maybe she has an addiction or maybe she hasn't got enough money and the husband is very rich or whatever the rules of life are, the judge will judge accordingly. According to the rules. But for Solomon, there were these two ladies who had equal standing in life, which, by the way, was the bottom standing. There was no evidence to say who was right and who was wrong. It was she said versus she said. The rules couldn't apply. He couldn't go by the societal rules. So wisdom was necessary. Wisdom was needed. Let me give you an example of this, because Proverbs is a book of wisdom, not rules. Let me say that again. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, not rules. Proverbs 26, 4 to 5, verse 4. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. The very next verse. Be sure to answer foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. Well, which is it? Do I answer them or do I not answer them? The answer is yes. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, because it's all about wisdom, and that's why it's important to have a heart that is connected to God, a posture that is always looking up, because the wisdom that Solomon had came from God. So when we're in a situation, even with one the Proverbs tell us to do, we go, God, is this the right time to do this? And sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it's different to what you might think because it's not according to the societal rules. And sometimes they just don't apply. Have you ever been in a situation where you realized you needed more wisdom? I have. Growing up, I was always told the rules for words are they have to be honest, fair, and well-intentioned. That's the rules for words. There are times where I've had awesome conversations with people and difficult conversations with people. And I've said words that were honest, they were fair, and they were well-intentioned. And I should never have said them. Because I didn't use wisdom. How many times in your life have you said something, done something, made a decision, gone left, right, up, down, started a relationship, started a job, done anything, and you realize if you just used wisdom, it wouldn't have blown up in my face. It would have been different. It would have been better. Because sometimes the rules don't apply and you need wisdom. So how can you get it? How can you get wisdom? Let's look back at verses 5 and 6. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive a guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Whatever your wisdom barometer stands at, wherever your marker is, maybe you're in here today and you go, you know, I have no wisdom whatsoever. Read the Proverbs. This is wisdom from God to Solomon to you. Read the Proverbs and you know what? You'll get a little bit wiser. And maybe you're halfway there in wisdom and you realize, you know what? If I read the Proverbs, I can go further along that road. Maybe you're like the wisest person you can think of. And when you read Proverbs, you realize that the barometer goes round and round and round. And there's always more wisdom to be had. The purpose of the Proverbs, as Solomon said, is to give people wisdom. The wisdom from God, he's sharing it with you. And it doesn't cost $300,000 to sit there and listen to it. It's not 12 rules to success. He's saying, hey, here's this wisdom from God that it is so good and so beautiful for the kingdom. If I share it with everyone, here it is. And all we've got to do is read it and go, Lord, how do I use this when I'm serving you? When I wake up in the morning, give me opportunities, Lord, to be wise for the sake of you and your kingdom. We should read Proverbs with an expectation of the highest quality of wisdom that comes directly from God. One more Bible verse, Proverbs 24, 13, 14. My child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. Church, my prayer is this. As we spend the next four messages in Proverbs, as you hear wisdom of God through Solomon to our speakers, to you, that you'll utilize the wisdom, that it will dig itself deep into your heart, that you'll experience like honey the sweet life within. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You're so good. You want us to live wise lives, lives that honor you, the people around us. You want us to impact your kingdom with wise choices, wise discussions, wise words, wise actions. Lord, we ask that you'd prepare our hearts now and ongoing and through this series, that as we listen to the words of Solomon from you, that it would dig into our hearts and our spirits, that we would catch it, God, that we would understand and hold dearly the wisdom within, the life within. And in advance, we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.